educators are overworked. They're busy trying to make sure that their students are understanding what they need to, that sometimes they're not checking the news to be like, oh, what's the next job that's going to be out for my students? What's going to be big in 10 years? That's why the labs are here. We're ready to help educators with that piece, making sure that they understand, well, this is what's to come.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and Chief Goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. I'm excited to talk with another great innovator in the transformative education space. And today we are going to be talking about portable innovation labs as a positive disruptor in how we think about the concept of what is school and why does it matter. And joining us today is Brianna Agamisu, the Portable Innovation Lab Coordinator at the PAST Foundation. So Brie, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Super excited to have this conversation. And this is actually part one of a four-part series that will explore the use of innovative, hands-on, portable innovation labs, or PILs, as we like to call them, as a transformative element in bringing high-quality STEM activities, career exploration, investigation, and experiences to students. So Brie, let's start with a 100,000-foot level. So help us understand, what the heck is this thing called the PIL project?
Yeah. So our PILs are portable innovation labs. These are free resources for educators to borrow from us. Like I said, completely free. They come with standard aligned curriculum and a curriculum that has several activities actually built into them. And these sometimes take between a week to 2 weeks, depending on how you spread them out throughout your time with them. You can actually rent them for 2 to 3 weeks. So that gives you the extra time to actually get involved with them, learn more about them before you do them with your students.
That's awesome. And I know that we're going to hear all about the way folks are loving this. But let's step back from this just a little bit and talk about the why is this necessary? And we're going to get into the details. This project it's a big project for the PAST Foundation. And it's big in every sense, right? It's a tremendous lift. It's complex. It's got a lot of moving parts, literally and figuratively. And at scale, it's going to really stretch and stress this organization. All of that, though, is totally okay because it's an awesome project and it's the right thing to do for kids. But what's the sort of gist of why this thing was necessary? Why on earth would we go down this road? Because there were a lot of conversations prior to saying, yes, let's do this thing. So when you step back and think about your work, if you had to distill down to why this is necessary, help us understand that.
So I definitely think the reason why this is necessary is because there's a big demographic of children who do not have access to a lot of STEM resources that other students do. And we're seeing in the world that a lot of these students tend to not see themselves in these STEM fields, in these STEM careers, like other students who are getting exposed to a lot of these pieces of content are. So I guess my big why is being able to allow these students to know that these are options for them. These are things that they are able to actually do in the future and love it. Math and science aren't scary. Even personally for me, I've always loved science and math. And then when I got to high school, I had that experience where I started to feel like, well, maybe I'm not good at math. Maybe I can't do this. Maybe that's not for me. And I'm from a space where I didn't have access to a lot of these STEM resources. And so even coming to PASS for the first time, that was my first time seeing a 3D printer. So I think that being able to expose these children to these things at a younger age, allowing them to know that there's a space for them in STEM fields is extremely important. And a lot of times educators want to be able to have these conversations and allow their students to feel this way, but they don't have the funds to do so. So I'm very thankful to our partnership with Battelle that we're able to actually give these resources to educators to borrow and use completely free with their students and make a bigger impact in their students' lives.
Yeah, absolutely. We are 100% grateful. But more than that, it's a true partnership, right? And I think that that's the other thing that I love about this project. And it's not just Battelle, right? Because so Battelle is the big partner that helps us actually launch and then ultimately to scale this work, right? Through their resources, their funds, their expertise as, you know, amazing, you know, global research scientists. But there are other industries and companies that have come on to partner with us to design and develop specific portable innovation labs that are all about the work that they do every day, right? So I'm thinking about Bath and Body Works. I'm thinking about Sweco. I'm thinking about Drive Ohio. I'm thinking about a whole host of these. And you frequently have other industries saying, hey, can we do one of those, right? Which is an awesome problem to have. And it will ultimately mean more and better and greater, you know, opportunity for students. But talk to me a little bit about like sort of what's in it for one of these companies. So take your pick, which one you want to talk about, right? You know, in terms of why would they partner with us to create this thing? And then when that thing is created, then what happens?
So I'll pick Drive Ohio because I work with Rich Granger a lot. We actually do certain like PDs to also make sure that we're spreading the work that we're doing as well. I think that the biggest things that a lot of our partners get out of creating a lab with us is the fact that they know that they're bettering our workforce. Our future workforce is a really big thing, making sure that students are being exposed to these careers that might be a little niche. So one of the biggest things is electrician for devices to help power electric cars, so like electric charging stations. A lot of kids don't know that's a career field to actually be able to be an engineer who specializes in creating those and going to work on those. And that's a field that's growing the way that we are getting more used to electric vehicles. And then a lot of the things that are happening with like drones and drone vertiports in real life, it sounds kind of science fiction. And a lot of times when I do like our drone and vertiport lab, students are like, oh, this is so cool if this is real. And it's like, no, this is real. And it's coming even here in Ohio. And the things that are expanding here, all the jobs coming with the new organizations and companies coming into Ohio, there's a lot of stuff happening here. And so I think one of the biggest things is, yes, we're engaging students in a fun, creative way, but they're actually learning and developing these skills to be able to one day go into these fields and be prepared. It's like how you say linking learning to life. We're doing that with these labs. We're making sure that students are understanding this transcends school. This goes into real life.
Absolutely. That's super, super important. And for these companies then too, the other thing they get out of this, right, this is exposure to potential workforce, right? I mean, and some would argue, oh, but wait a minute, these are elementary kids or middle school kids or high school kids. And I would argue, and I think that we regularly argue this, right, that this is emerging workforce. You cannot start too young, right, to make sure that your brand is recognized in a world where brand is everything. And also, it's just really, really critically important that you understand the makeup, the way of thinking, the way of interacting and being in the world, that this next generation that's not you, they are going to become your workforce one day. And it could be 12 years from now, and it could be 2 years from now. And are you, as a company, prepared for that? And this partnership or interaction gives your associates, in many cases, because to your point, you know, Rich Granger from Drive Ohio, and certainly folks from the other industries that have partnered with us to design and develop and deploy these labs, they actively engage. Their employees actively engage in the delivery of these things often, not always, and it's not required, but many of them choose to because, well, it's fun for starters, right? We only play all day. So that's super exciting. And so part of thinking about this for them is that it gives them that opportunity to understand what's coming as an industry. When you think about the work that you're doing and the design and development of labs themselves, how do you incorporate sort of future readiness into that?
So definitely making sure one of the biggest things is focusing on what's to come. And I think a lot of times when STEM activities, STEM kits, things like that are created, it's about, oh, well, this is right now. This is what's now. We need to make sure that they understand now. Well, we have to prepare students for the future. So a lot of times I will look at what's to come. I like to actually stay up to date on current events, new technologies, new innovations. So that way I can be best prepared to actually share that information with students, with educators, because a lot of times educators are overworked. They're mm-hmm. busy. Mm-hmm. They're too busy trying to make sure that their students are understanding what they need to, that sometimes they're not checking the news to be like, oh, what's the next job that's going to be out for my students? What's going to be big in 10 years? They're not doing that because they're worried about making sure our students are prepared for the future. Well, that's why the labs are here. We're ready to help with educators with that piece, making sure that they understand, well, this is what's to come. And a lot of times I get educators that tell me, oh, I learned something myself. Mm-hmm. Well, I wish I had this when I was younger. I wish someone would have told me about something like this. And even for me, you know, I'm only 23, but the things that I like even learn when creating these labs and talking to these partners and all these different things, it's like, I wish that someone would have given me a portable innovation lab mm-hmm. when I was 8. When I was in 5th grade, I wish that someone would have been there for me to give me these experiences because, you know, it could have made a difference as well.
100%. I think about my own experience and I am not 23, I'd like to point out. So, you know, good on you. Let's talk a little bit about the labs themselves. So we deployed these both informal and informal settings. They were designed very specifically, let's talk about the design elements, right? They were designed very specifically so that you do not have to be an expert in that thing. And in fact, they are designed in such a way that they can go into any content area and they can be modified to fit the thing that you're teaching or a theme that you want to plug into. And you don't have to be that expert and you can follow the guidelines and all the information. So talk to us a little bit about the units themselves.
Yeah, of course. So like I touched on earlier, they come with standard aligned curriculum that has 4 to 5 activities in each of these curriculums, and they come with very detailed instructions. So not only is it like written instructions, some of them have the videos that go along with it to help, especially with our 3D printers. A lot of times I get educators just like me who said, I've never used a 3D printer in my life, but I want my students to have that experience, right? So I go out, I give them the printers, I set them up with them, I talk to them about how to use the printers, and not only that, they still have contact with me throughout the entire process. They're able to reach out to me, email, Zoom, whatever they need through the 2 to 3 weeks that they have the labs. Even after that, if they need follow-ups, I've had educators reach out and be like, actually, I have an idea. And we communicate that. So it's like a thought process. Like we're bouncing back ideas, bounce back and forth. But these labs also come with the other supplies that you may need. So like all the other resources that may come with it, like the applications, everything is completely free. I get a lot of times educators will be afraid. They're like, okay, well, this is free, but how much is that software that I have to have with it? Like I've had people come up to me and be like, well, this is so cool. Sad. It's not free. And I'm like, but it is. That's exactly what it is. It is free. But people are so used to things not being available to them mm-hmm. that they get in a mindset that they can't. So it's like giving them that I can. And it's a really exciting experience. So everything that you need from like the software to the supplies to the curriculum to the support is included with those. And it's all built into what we're creating with the labs.
And just to be really clear, so these portable innovation labs span the K-12, actually pre-K, 12 range. So it's not just elementary or not just middle or not just high. All the labs are scalable to some extent, right? So you can take it down a grade level, you can bring it up a few grade levels, right? And some of them span the entire spectrum, right? Because you've included the modifications on how you would do this. This is what it looks like. My favorite one to sort of give a shout out to your background is fairy tale forensics. So Bree studied forensic science. And so that's the reason she got over that I'm not good at math thing. And so what's beautiful about that is you can run that with your elementary kids. You can run that with middle school kids. And the high school iterations of it are hilarious, right? And not all of them do that, but many of them do. So that's a really important, I think, component to the way these work.
Yeah. And one of the biggest things is I always tell educators, please don't be afraid of the grade band labels. Yeah. Obviously, it needs to be there. But sometimes I ache to even have to put, well, this is for third through fifth grade. Because it's not. Mm-hmm. If you are able to use this with your students, even at kindergarten level, if you're like, I know my students can be exposed to this and get something out of it, I always stress to educators, please, please, please do it with them. Because how would you know if they can't if you don't try, right? I always say, let them try it. If it doesn't work out, then don't do it. Jessica Fields, she works at a school here, and she had her younger elementary students using Spheros. I don't think anyone has ever expected, like, oh, okay, like a six-year-old is going to be able to help code this robot to be able to move from place to place. You give kids the opportunity, and you'll see what they can actually do. And even with our high school students, some of the times I'm like, okay, well, the Fairy Tale Forensics is too elementary for you. I've worked with high school students using Fairy Tale Forensics, and that's something that will blow your mind. They're like, no, this is really good, because they're able to bring in different contexts. They're able to bring in different aspects, and that's a part of being able to scale things up or down. So there's nothing I think that is necessarily stuck for one age group. And so that's one of my biggest like disclaimers. Like, I wish I could just put it in bold somewhere that please don't be afraid of the grade range. Just do it.
Are you ready to join the movement to revolutionize education? Stay tuned for the full unveiling of my forthcoming book, Hacking School: 5 Strategies to Link Learning to Life, where we'll dive deeper into these topics and unlock key strategies to educational transformation. If you want to stay in the know, sign up for notifications at pastfoundation.org/hackingschool.
We also really made sure, and we mentioned this before, that this is for in-school and out-of-school applications. And I want to be really mindful that we don't exclude in our conversation those out-of-school providers. And so that's going to be things like the public libraries, and we'll talk about that specifically because that's a really great iteration of this. Also, after-school community organizations or schools who want to run summer programs, right? They could be the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts. I mean, so many different entities or organizations that are interacting with children outside formal educational environments, right? And we wanted to make sure that those folks who wanted to deliver high-quality STEM experiences for students who oftentimes don't have any formal training, certainly in the content, and oftentimes not even in specific elements of childcare or running camps or whatever, right? There are organizations that are like, gosh, we need to do this thing. But they roll up their sleeves and they're willing. Because they're willing, they're the perfect catalyst for ensuring that kids have these great high-quality experiences. So how do you, Bree, make sure that the same content that you are working with highly trained educators to deliver in a formal setting, that it has a similar experience in an informal experience? How does that work?
Yeah, so that's definitely why whenever I talk about our PILs, I say educators and not just teachers, mm-hmm. because I think that's limiting. So anytime I say educators, because a lot of times educators can come in all forms after school. If you're like a coach of some sort or any other after school clubs, the library systems, I've worked with multiple library systems that use our labs and they absolutely love it. I worked with several nonprofits also who do different like summer camps on their own, and they just don't have the manpower or the time to create something like we have. So we're able to extend what we have to students, even if they're not in our building. They're able to do it somewhere else, something of a similar facet, and has a great impact on them as well. And so how I'm able to scale it to fit certain areas, one of the biggest things is I always just like to sit down with whoever's doing it first. I like to have a sit down with someone via Zoom or in person to talk to them a little bit about what they're expecting to accomplish with their students, what they want to happen. And then I go through our labs, what's available, and I really just have like a one-on-one with them about what's going on. And then we will scale things to their time constraints. So sometimes we have summer camps that are like, I want the whole thing. Just give me how it is because I want all the content. But sometimes I'll chop down the activities. I'll make them a little bit more digestible for their time constraints, especially with our library system. A lot of times they're having students on drop-in scales, right? They're not having students every single day for 4 hours, like a traditional summer camp where they're seeing them consistently. So they know if I do this, it can follow up with this. One of the biggest things when I talk to a lot of the educators or the educators at the library system is we need to be able to do something. And then if the next day we have different students, they can still have as good of an impact, right? We want these labs to still be impactful, even if they're more bite-sized activities. Mm-hmm. So I've definitely had to make those a little bit more bite-sized and decide how they're going to be able to translate and build upon each other. But even if that child comes in like 3 days after the lab's been used the first time, they're not feeling like a foundation's missing. They didn't need that first lab, the first activity of the lab to be able to excel in that activity that I got to do that day. So definitely talking to whoever I'm working with, whatever organization, whatever library, and then just kind of scaling those to a different time constraint.
Yeah, absolutely. And that has been a really sort of key component of this work. And so just for the sake of context for our listeners, so we are in our second year of thinking about this, right, and doing this work, and it has started scaling across the state, and that's super, super exciting. And we are definitely fielding requests from other industry partners who are interested, but also from other communities, especially those library systems, those service program providers that see the value of pulling these kinds of things into their environment, some of which we contemplated and thought about, but some of which are a bit of a surprise when you get a request. So talk to us a little bit about some of the things on this journey that have been surprising to you.
Yeah, so I didn't get to mention earlier, but we actually do have a select few of our labs at the OSLN hubs in Dayton and Akron. So like you're saying, these are scaling out, these are going further, because one of my most surprising things was the first person to ever use one of our labs last year was an educator 2 hours away. 2 hours away, not in Central Ohio. I was prepared for it to be someone right down the street, but it was someone 2 hours away. And I was like, are you sure? Like, this is a pickup drop-off system. Can you make it? And she was like, I'm going to make it work. And guess what? She's already signed up to do it again. And when I told her, I was like, she signed up almost instantly. Actually, last year, she was prepared for this school year.
Really?
She was on top of it. Wow. She signed up to pick up from here in Columbus. And I said, hey, we actually are at the Akron hub now. Like, you're closer to Akron. And she's like, are you so serious? And she sent me this email, like, her all caps. She's like, I'm so excited. Thank you so much. And she was so excited because she was able to get it from the Akron hub. I've had people ask me, can my sister pick it up from you and like drive it to me halfway? Because I'm like 3 hours away. That's happened. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we're very doable. I'm very flexible because I want this to go where it needs to be. Educators are seeing a value in this. They're seeing that this is something that's going to make an impact on their students, and they're willing to make that drive. I had someone in Dayton who didn't know we were at the Dayton Hub, and she was like, well, I need this lab, so I'm willing to make the drive. Like, just let me know. And I said, we're at the Dayton Hub. And she was like, you're serious? And I said, yeah. And she was so excited about that. And so when I get those emails, it's like, it brightens my day. Yeah. Because me realize like, no, this is really making an impact on educators, not just even their students. It's a big circle effect. And working with other people, I think it's just furthering the cause of what we're looking to do, because yeah, we're a small but mighty team, but sometimes we do need those community partners. We need to work with the library systems, the Columbus Metropolitan Library, Upper Arlington Library. We have places in Cleveland wanting to work with us. We have places in Cincinnati asking, when can we get our hands on your labs? And it's like, I feel bad almost having to be like, not yet, just wait. I never say no. Mm-hmm. I never give no's because I don't give no's, but I give it time, give it a second. We're going to get to that point soon. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of patients from the people who are working with me, and they're so excited asking me how, let me be a space for your labs. I'll put them in my building. Mm-hmm. I'll do whatever it needs mm-hmm. to take. Do you need us to like give funding, anything like that? And it's like, no, that's not what we're asking for. I just need to make sure that we're keeping the fidelity of what our work is when we are sending it off somewhere else as well. So that's one of the biggest things. And it just brightens my day when I get those emails.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. And we're up in the 40 range right now on fully developed and deployable labs. And what, for the sake of those who are wondering what is happening now, is we are to the point where we're getting ready to scale across the state. So that means that there's this big ramp up to take those 40 and duplicate them to enough unit sets that we can deploy them around the state, not all at the same time. And we swap them out because we do have to service them. I guess that's the other thing for folks to know, is it's a sort of full service lending library approach, if you will. So, in terms of doing that. And then also, you mentioned this thing called the OSLN. So for those that were not local, the OSLN stands for the Ohio STEM Learning Network, which is a statewide network of schools, organizations that are committed to the expansion of high quality STEM education, whether your student wants to go into STEM or not, but that all students get that STEM foundation. And so that network has been a great partner because it's already deployed across the state. And to your point, we've been able to tap into that network, those hub locations, and then actually put these materials there so that folks don't have to travel so far to get to them. So super, super important. We've talked a lot, Bree, about all the amazing things about this project and why we love it so much. But again, we started with, this is a really big thing. It's a big lift. So what are you struggling with? Because I want to be fully transparent in this conversation. So what's hard? What keeps Bree up at night?
So I definitely would say I always request feedback, like borderline for everything that I do. I want that honest feedback from educators. So I'm actually working with our research team to be able to make sure that what we're doing has fidelity to it. So every time someone uses a lab, I'll send out like, hey, thank you so much. We need you to do this feedback form for us to let us know how we did. There's nothing else. There's no payment. There's no nothing. I'm just asking you to just be honest with me about how your experience and your students' experience was with using our labs. And the thing I think that honestly keeps me up at night is when I don't get that feedback, when I'm not getting the answers back, when I'm not getting the explanations back, because I want to make sure that I'm creating these to be better and better. There's always iterations of these. I've already changed our forensics lab like 3 different times because I'm learning about new technologies, new topics, new things. And I went to school for this already, but it's like new things are coming out all the time. All the different things we're doing are bionics with Neuromaker. They have new hands that come out. I had to update that and I changed that. So things are always changing. So that's another thing I like to stress to our educators is, hey, things are always going to change. So it's okay. Please give me that feedback so the next iteration is even better, because I want these to be something that can have a positive impact on everyone. And I think if there's no change, then that means we're not actually doing anything. That means there's no growth, right? And I want there to be growth not only for the educators and students, but even for the PAS team and what we're doing with our PILs. And our PIL team is growing, and that's even better. That's what makes me happy to see, is that this is turning into something so big that we had to get more of me.
We did have to get more of you. And you know, but that is not possible, Bree. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely being able to see this grow and getting that feedback from the educators, the parents, the students, even when we do like our summer camps and things like that, seeing how our students interact with a lot of our stuff is what's important, and definitely getting that feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. Okay, so as we sort of wrap up this conversation then, I'm an educator in Ohio. Unfortunately, these are not outside of Ohio yet, but soon. Yet we say not yet, right? But I am an educator in Ohio, and I love what I just have been hearing, and I want PILs in my classroom, in my school, in my community. How do I get those.
Right? Yeah, of course. So we wanted to make sure the process wasn't too complicated. We didn't want it to have to be a back and forth over email or anything like that. So we actually created an online reservation system. And I think a lot of times when people hear that, they're like, okay, so I have to put my card number in. And it's like, no, it's completely free. No cards, no strings attached, no nothing. So you'd go to thepassfoundation.org, our website, and you could just type in PILs or Portable Innovation Labs in the search, and it'll bring you actually to the Portable Innovation Lab page where you can scan through and browse through the catalog of the labs that we do have available. And you can check what time frame you want it to be, see the availability on the website. It's all right there in your face. Learn more about the labs on there as well, and any other information that you might need. And then you will just add it to your cart. Give us a few pieces of information like your name, your school district, the amount of students you have, and then check out. And then I'll get an email. I'll confirm with you and send you some more follow-up information. And then you pick up whenever your pickup date was.
That simple.
That simple.
Wow. Amazing. 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 Okay. So I'm super excited about this. So last question for you, as the new academic year is ramping up, what are you super excited about with PILs that we haven't done before, but you are planning to do? What are you super excited about? Maybe it's a new partner. Maybe it's trying a lab in a different way.
Okay, I have two.
Okay.
So one, to touch on a new partner, we're working with Makerspace Central. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because whenever I talk about their CEO, I always laugh because I'm like, he's literally a rocket scientist. Like, he's a rocket scientist. And it always makes me giggle because he's helping us develop and create it already, our rocket science lab. And so it's always funny because I make the joke, well, it's not rocket science.
No, but it is.
It actually is this time. So that's something I'm really excited for. And then definitely all the new partnerships and connections that I've been able to make over this past year and seeing them flourish. The new people that I've been able to meet through others, the new communities I've been able to expand to, that's what I'm really excited for. And actually even being able to expand to multiple CML branches. So Columbus Metropolitan Library, we're going to be at all the branches this fall. We're going to be out there. We're going to be everywhere. And then eventually spreading to the other hubs and all these other places and just continuing to grow. That's what I'm really excited for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations, Bree, because you're doing an amazing job. And it is an incredible, incredible program. And, you know, we're biased in saying that, obviously, because we're the ones that are doing all the design and development work along with our amazing partners that are, you know, elbows deep with us in this work. But all of that to say, we are incredibly proud of this because, again, it was a lift to do this work in the best ways, right? And I would encourage you as an educator, as a school, as an organization to embrace what seems outside of your comfort zone or the realm of possibility and run with it because you learned so much. And we've definitely learned an awful lot through this process and we'll continue to learn. Stay tuned for the next installment of the conversation around the Portable Innovation Lab project and where you're going to get to hear from some educators that have actually been implementing these in their own ecosystems, and they are going to have some additional insights that we haven't heard from Bree today. So, Bree, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.
Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin and join me next time as we stand up, step back, and lean in to reimagine education.